Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Ruby fans! Welcome to another happy-go-lucky episode of the Ruby After Show, because we've got nothing but happy-go-lucky sunshine and rainbows.
And anger.
Just a little bit of anger.
And crying!
I got deep-seated issues.
Just a few. So, as you can tell, we're all doing great tonight. Let me go ahead and tell you guys what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's chapter 10, or 11 and 12, Heroes and Monsters, and the End of the Beginning. It's the end of Volume 3. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
Howdy, on the internet, it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter, at Mark B. Donica. I'm going to be checking the hashtag, which is RWBYABTV.
Emma Fife.
Yes, that's me, Emma Fife. You can find me all over the internet at Emma Fife.
Katie Cullen.
You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also checking the hashtag and the live chat.
And I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And joining us tonight, we have two very, very special guests. Miles and Carrie are joining us via Yay. Skype from Texas. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Sad.
We've been better.
The entirety of live chat is out for your blood. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, there seems to be this pitchfork torch mentality going on right now.
The thing is, this is an observation that I made about these episodes the other day, is I think that you guys did an incredibly good job sort of pacing out character deaths. much in the way that George R. R. Martin is very good at it. Like, spoilers for Game of Thrones, guys. A lot of people die.
What?
I know.
We've
shocking.
Had four in three episodes.
Shocking.
We've had four in three episodes.
But that's the thing is, so for example, in Game of Thrones, they do a really good job where, like, they kill off one of the main characters at the end of the first book. And then they spend a while, like, building up some tension and developing this world, and then all of a sudden it's just like mass murder, incidentally, at the end of book three.
Middle.
So, pacing-wise, it felt very reminiscent of the Game of Thrones novels, specifically the novels, in a really good way.
I don't think we've hit our red wedding yet.
Oh, no.
This is not our red wedding.
But I feel...
A lot of people don't realize is that Miles and I have read every single Game of Thrones book. Yep, all of them. Yeah, yep.
As have I. That's not true at all.
Okay. I read the first three chapters of the first one.
Yeah? How was it? I fell asleep.
You also were probably hungry because they had, like, lengthy descriptions of food.
They really do.
Now,
I just couldn't keep up.
I do want to ask, though, George R. R. Martin seems to be the refrain. Are you getting tired of being compared to George R. R. Martin? Because there are lots of authors out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a buzzword now.
Yeah, it's true. Like, but I think it's a compliment, because as I say, like, George R. R. Martin gives you just enough time to really become attached to these characters so that when they die, it really hurts.
Yeah.
And speaking of good old George, I've had this request from multiple people, and so I have to ask, and people want to know if they're dead. Torchwick, Pyrrha, Cinder.
I understand why they want to know.
Yes.
Are we just getting
keep watching?
That's a direct spoiler question.
What's on screen is what's on screen.
Yeah.
We don't, like,
you know, when we did the RVB 13 thing, I was like, yeah, this person and this person, this person's gone. But RVB 13 was also the end of a trilogy. It was like the end of the story. And Ruby's story is very much just getting started. Yeah. And whether they're dead or they're not dead, honestly, like, we just don't want to start we just don't want to be declaring things.
That's part of the story.
Yeah. It's like when you come to the realization that they are, they aren't, then you'll come to that realization, whatever.
Yeah.
But we just don't want to, like, have a thing officially canon if, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
You just got to deal with your feelings, folks. It's very difficult, but it's a part of growing up, and this whole series is about growing up.
Yeah.
You got to deal with these character deaths no matter how close they are to you. Roman Torchwick until I die.
So you need to move out of Egypt because denial's getting crowded.
I think the thing I'm worried about the most is, like, the second we do this for one person, then we have to do it for every single character.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or everyone's going to assume that they're coming back.
Yeah.
So it's just like a...
We will say, whether they're alive or dead, a petition won't change that.
Thank you.
I did want to say, I noticed something fun with the Rooster Teeth store and wanted to see what you guys thought about this. We have a Crest of Pyrrha shirt. We have a Crest of Roman Torchwick shirt. And why did my brain just blanked? Shit. Never mind. Come back to me.
All right. What I was howling about is that last week we had Gray and Jen on, and then these next two
and
weeks.
And we had no idea.
It's our Z Nation booking luck. Every time someone dies, we get them on the show.
So going off of that, between Red versus Blue and Ruby now, is Gray getting tired of you killing him?
He actually did say this has been a really tough year for characters I play.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What does this say? What does this mean for Rusty? Okay, I remember my thought. There's also a Crest of Neptune shirt.
Yeah.
Is that an indicator of Neptune's...
That's just a hot item that you can buy right now at roosties.com/store. Oh my gosh, deals. Deals everywhere. You can get this shirt. Oh my gosh, it's the Vital Festival shirt. Not that that's happening anymore.
Get this shirt at our store.
Yeah, no, that's a licensing.
That is an indicator that the fandom really likes Team Hot and Useless.
Yeah. All right. I do want to say, like,
Oh man,
you've heard me call them that before.
I haven't heard that at all. I love that.
Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and put a kibosh on the direct spoiler questions from now on. No more of those. Sorry, guys, if you have those in the hashtag, we're just going to skip over them. So I apologize. Mm-hmm. That's my call, but we're not going to get anywhere if we just keep asking direct spoiler questions. So what I do want to ask now is, now that season 3 is done, now that volume 3 is finally wrapped up, how does it feel?
Well, I guess it's slightly different for me, but yeah, I mean, I've actually slept now, and I'm eating regularly again, which is nice. I don't know, it's really interesting, because a lot of the plot lines that we had this year are things that we've been working towards since the very beginning. Most of the major character things that happened this year, we had the idea for before we even wrote the scripts for the first episode of volume 1. So it's been really nice to actually be able to finally get those things out there.
Yeah, the way it felt to me was like, in particular, it was episode 9 with Penny's death, which was like when we, like, it's something we've been talking about for so long. It was always that thing that was down the road, like, you know, like, yeah, whenever I... It's like things in life where it's like, yeah, one day when I get married, like, that'll happen. That's always something that's really far away. And then one day you'll get married and you'll be like, oh my God, I got married.
Yeah.
Like, it was like this. It was like, yeah, one day the Penny thing's going to happen. And then, like, that Saturday morning, I was like, oh my God, today's the day.
Yeah.
Like, this thing that has been coming for so long.
It's just X's on your calendar
here.
Leading up to this
and
day.
And it was weird. It was really, really weird. Yeah. But yeah, it's really, really exciting to finally be at this point that we've, like, very, very slowly been building towards, and now, like, we can really start to tell this big story in this big world we've been excited about for several years now. So
I feel like
play.
I feel like with the end of volume 3, it's like you've gotten to a place where there is no sort of formula to follow anymore. Not to say that the first three books were, you know, like, formulaic by any means, but But, you know, you did have sort of that confine of, okay, we're at the school and we're training to be hunters and
huntresses.
And there's
teenage romance.
And now there's a tournament.
Exactly. Yeah, we got the tournament out of the way pretty quick.
Exactly. Yeah. And now it's as you say, it's like now we can venture into this wide world that we've only sort of seen little bits and pieces of.
The way we always kind of described it is essentially the end of Volume 3 is kind of like the end of Act 1.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, believe it or not, too, that, I mean, this is something, again, like, we've been playing for a long time. Like, we really wanted everybody to go, all right, this is a hub anime. This is what we expect from it. Not just kidding. Now we're going on a journey. You know, like, that's been something that we've been wanting to do for a long time.
Before Madoka was a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about starting the episode with Shot Through the Heart. We can't start episodes with songs because technology, but we have Shockzors in the chat saying, your very first kiss was your first kiss goodbye. Bless you.
Speaking to the format a little bit, we've been blessed with the world of Remnant shorts, which have been getting stylistically more and more beautiful. Now that we've had a time skip, in a sense, and there's a lot of what happened to everybody else in that moment. Will the world of Remnant format change to sort of fill in how other characters have been existing and living in that time skip, or are we to expect more background stories?
Ooh.
Potentially, we're still working on writing for Volume 4 right now. The hope is that we'll actually be covering a decent amount of that in the story itself, so I don't think we'll need to.
Okay.
We still want to use the world of Remnant as a way to explore. The whole purpose of it in the beginning was to explore things that were not easy for us to get into the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, normally, like, in your standard, like, 22-minute anime, you've got time where you can just kind of, like, do some expository stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were trying to do something that, you know, would resemble these shows that we've watched for years, mm-hmm. but we just, honest to God, do not have the time in order to do that. So it was a nice, like, little fun way to try and get some more extra information out there to help flesh out the world.
Yeah,
so will, like, eat into show time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Totally.
And from a stylistic standpoint, Shannon mentioned when we had him on the show that he was going to be, that you guys wanted Ozpin to be the voice of the world of Remnant this season. And now that we've met Salem, it's very apparent as to why. Mm-hmm. And that he won't necessarily be the voice of the world of Remnant now, presumably because he's gone missing and who knows what happened.
Well, I'm throwing this out there. He's not dead.
Of course he's not dead.
Namely because Salem is addressing him in the present tense instead of going, I win.
Yeah, no, I think she would have been a lot more happy.
Yeah.
Also, and I have to bring this up because literally everyone else has, Salem looks a lot like the Winter Maiden.
Very much so.
I guess it's fair.
Yeah.
Although we did get a question in the hashtag as to what inspired. Oh,
yeah. You go and say it again. Yeah, I don't mind saying that's not intentional. Yeah, that's just a question.
Going off of that, we did have a question in the hashtag about what inspired Salem's design because it is very unique. And personally, I got like a Soul Eater vibe from it. She looks very reminiscent of one of those types of
it's
monsters.
Stunning.
Can't really get into it.
Yeah, I was gonna say how much. I don't think.
Yeah, we can't. Without Salem's just a little treat.
Yeah,
you guys can suck on and think about for
suck
a while.
On it.
We don't want to go too much into Salem, but.
Okay.
I'm a fan of her, and I'm really excited that we get to finally start. That was another thing. Like, when that episode finally came out, it was like, we can finally say Salem. Thank God.
Yep, and immediately there became a hashtag, Stop Salem 2016.
Well, the one I'm seeing is Fight Kruby 2016.
I did...
Actually, I had a Salem concept before we even had, like, Team Sun concept.
Yep.
I mean, like...
Yep.
She was, like, almost directly after Juniper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, she is gorgeous and terrifying, and I'm so happy that we finally have our Wicked Witch.
Yes.
This is so great. For all of the Wizard of Oz parallels that we have, it's so great, because that seemed to be the one thing, besides Dorothy, that was missing, but I think we have both of those things now.
And
but,
see,
go ahead.
What I'm intrigued about is we have two different versions of The Wizard of Oz in popular culture. There's the original novel and there's the movie that everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if we are going off of the novel or off of the movie, because in the movie we have two wicked witches and we have Glinda the Good Witch. In the novel, Glinda is the Good Witch of the North And we have a good witch of the south that's never really brought up. So
that
if
is
we're
true.
Working with the novel, we could have another good witch kicking around out there.
Yeah,
these are interesting theories.
Yeah,
yes. I just wanted to throw that out there. I was not expecting.
This totally puts the arrow in my wicked theory that the show is going to turn into a musical for season 4.
Oh, I would love a musical episode.
Nothing's off the table.
it's not too late.
It's someone's semblance to make everyone sing.
Yeah. Well, we've seen Jean can play the guitar.
Sure.
And they can dance.
About that.
Yeah. Scare quotes. Jean can play the guitar.
Scare quotes.
Oh. Just scare quotes.
Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about some of the big things, because they're like, these were very, very ambitious episodes, to say the least. Again, just upping the ante every season. I do want to touch on, Mark, I have to concede, I am definitely adhering to your theory that Neo is Mary Poppins. She officially flew through the air with an umbrella.
With an umbrella.
Not by her choice, but she did do that. So the second that happened, I was like, okay, I'm gonna stick with Mark's theory.
But that's just a theory until it's confirmed.
Oh, Ruby theory.
But that was a big part. Oh, go ahead.
I just, thinking about Neo, I'm interested to see what happens with her going forward, because I don't think her alliance was with Cinder. I think it was with Torchwick. And provided that we don't get a where is my goddamn shoe stinger at some point with him cutting his way out of a Grimm, he's out of the picture. So is she going to be angry at Ruby for causing this, or angry at Cinder for getting him into this in the first place? Or is she just going to be a free agent? We just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
We ask the questions that nobody else will.
Yeah, exactly. let's bring it back to stuff we can actually talk about.
Is there stuff we can talk about?
Talk about what happened in the episode.
Yeah, well,
let's give them something to talk about.
So since we mentioned it, Torchwick is dead. Eaten by a giant.
Torchwick is eaten.
Probably eaten by a grew.
Most likely dead.
Definitely swallowed. Well, on the live stream, Gray made noises about him being dead. So yeah. He is a little closer to confirmed than just about everyone else.
Now, was this also a plan from the start, or were you guys planning on getting him out of the picture sooner? How did that come about?
In the original version, he got eaten by a giant alpha Beowulf. But it was... And that was when it was still during the Fall of Beacon, but in that, in like earlier versions, the Fall of Beacon happened a lot sooner.
Sorry, that was weird for me for a second.
What?
It's the same saying Fall of Beacon out loud.
Oh, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you were like, Miles, don't spoil it! We've been having to watch everything.
I almost had a fucking heart attack.
We've been having to watch everything we say for 3 years of this stuff. It was like, don't say the Fall of Beacon. Don't talk about the penny thing. Don't talk about the pier. Like,
yeah.
Salem. I swear to God, if somebody says Salem, we're going to kill them.
Sorry.
You want to know what it's like? This is what it's like. Originally, like, the Fall of Beacon happened a lot sooner, but blah, 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 life happens. Mm-hmm. So we get volumes 1, 2, and 3 the way that they ended up turning out. When was it in the first drafts that we did? Because before we wrote Ruby proper, we wrote 4 mm-hmm. like mini episodes that we wanted to use as a pitch piece to see if we could get the show greenlit.
Yeah.
And then after they were read, and after Matt and Bernie saw what Monty did with the red trailer, before it was uploaded,
right,
in season 10, they were like, you know what?
Just make it.
Just make the show. Yeah. And we're like, whoa. production was super different.
It was,
I was going to ask you. Well,
just a one-off, wasn't going to be around a very long kind of guy. But then once we started writing Volume 1 and we auditioned Gray and, we just loved him so much, we're like, we can hang around on him for a little longer.
Yeah.
From the beginning, we were like, yeah, we wanted to, really display, hey, yeah, the Grimm are pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and when you think you're controlling them, you're not.
Yeah, and essentially also just to try and show that in the grand scheme of things, Torchwick was the least of everybody's worries.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Poor old Roman.
Rip in peace.
I really enjoyed his probable death.
Just watching the beats go down, like he's in the middle of a big bombastic speech. Something's gonna happen. There it is.
Great comedic timing.
Beautiful.
I loved seeing him and Neo fight. We've never gotten to see that before as a team like that. And we're never going to see it again. But it was
nice
really
while it lasted. It
was so interesting watching them go because obviously they've had experience in doing this. I want mini episodes of like their escapades before Cinder assimilated them.
That's the one thing that we always try to do whenever possible, even down to like any time we have a background character. Like we want to try and give that vibe that, you know, every person has their own story. Mm-hmm. You know, like. Obviously we can't do that with everybody, but you know, we try to when we have the ability to, but like even down to the characters that Aaron, one of our concept artists, did for just like background teams, like there was so much love put into every one of those designs because we wanted them to feel just as important as every other,
right,
you know, huntsman and huntress in training that was at that tournament. And yeah, just trying to put in as much like little backstories.
Yeah.
Like,
we're not following the special team. We're just following the team that we happen to be following right now.
Yeah.
Was there anything that had to get cut that you, like, not to give anything away for something you could pull out for the next season, but was there anything on the cutting room floor that had to stay there and just because it didn't work for either time or story purposes?
This one we can talk about because it can't be used in any other circumstance. There's actually another fight originally in Chapter 5.
In the doubles rounds.
During the doubles rounds. It was Sun and Neptune versus Pyrrha and Nora.
And that was, without question, one of the most painful things to have to cut.
Yeah.
It really came down to the fact that the fight had absolutely no relevance to the plot at all.
Yeah.
And we were already, like, we went over our page count on just about every episode. And it's like, I mean, the last episode's, what, 28 minutes, right? Something insane.
Well, with all the crew, with all the...
Yeah, sure. But still, it's like... and that's great. And it's amazing that we were able to do that and that we were able to have that. It almost killed our team.
Yeah, if we hadn't cut that fight, we would have missed our deadline.
The finale wouldn't have been anywhere as it would have been nowhere near as close to as good as it turned out.
Yeah.
So we just had to bite the bullet and cut that fight, which was a bummer. We had some fun stuff with Neptune in there with the whole water thing.
Yeah.
But spoiler alert: Sun and Neptune lost.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Well, given that it's something that we'll never see, I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, Ruby fandom, please give us all the fan art of that you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Ruby fan animators, do the thing.
Oh, yeah. So the one, like, super cool-looking biome that we see in the background of the Penny fight, there's an anti-grav biome. The one that was super futuristic, it's, like, blocky with, like, running lights on it.
It was anti-grav, swamp.
Swamp.
Ice. No. Was it ice? Yeah, no, it was ice. And I don't remember what the fourth one was. They never really got it in that section.
I think it was desert,
but we never used the desert in that fight. But we talk about it more on the DVD and Blu-ray director's commentary that also has a lot of other commentary things. You should get that disc when it comes out because it's way that it supports us.
Speaking of that, several fans wanted to know if there's a window for the soundtrack or the volume for home release.
They're working on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think we announced the DVD date, but I actually don't remember what it is.
I've been in art.
And Jeff Williams has been working so hard on the season that he's now sleeping, and then he will get going even farther on the CD.
Yeah, we love that people are asking for it.
Yeah.
Also, please understand, it is not an easy thing to just do.
No. It is absolutely happening.
For sure.
As soon as possible.
Physical production sucks.
Now, I want to bring it back to the episode for a minute. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know, because we have this moment with Amber's demise. And when we had Gray on, he said a lot of people were going to be mad at Jean in the following episode, and we see why. And I want to say, I understand why some people would be upset, but I don't blame him for what happened.
No.
He had absolutely no context for what was going on. His friends started screaming, and like he did the very natural thing to do. But I wanted to know, what was your guys' reaction the moment you saw Amber die?
We were focused in on her and watching it happen, and I'm like, this is a shot. Why are they holding on this shot? It's gonna... Yep, there it is!
I thought it was... We got a little bit of the transfer process starting when I saw Amber go down. I was like, maybe something took with Pyrrha.
I agree with you, Mark. I was totally on the same page as you. And at the same time, too, that, you know, it kind of led into where Pyrrha's story ended up going. And I think that as a fan of that character and that moral dilemma, and she made the choice that she was going to do, that she was going to take on the powers of the Fall Maiden, even if it meant sacrificing her. I'm like getting emotional about this, guys. but I was upset that she didn't get to like do the thing that she made the difficult decision to do. But it was really realistic, because that's how life is, guys.
And she made a very difficult decision right after that.
Yeah.
This season was definitely kind of going back to Blake and Ruby's first interaction about, yeah, life's not a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And this kind of that, this was that rude awakening for our heroes and for our viewers as well.
Audience, yeah.
Which is like, yeah, we may live in a, this story may take place in some fantasy beautiful land, but life itself is still a very, very cruel existence.
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of, and maybe it's just because I have Harry Potter on the brain, and she's nothing like this character, but it was very much the same way I think that reading the Harry Potter books, spoilers for Harry Potter,
you're fine.
You really wanted Snape to, like, go out really heroically, but, like, he didn't. But he did a lot of good things throughout his lifetime, and that, I feel like, is kind of what went down with Pyrrha.
You and I have very different interpretations of Snape, and we're going to have to fight this off camera. But no, I thought her death, I hesitate to say, I thought her death was fine, but I thought it was
a fitting character.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, her name is Pyrrha, for God's sakes. Mm. This is basically, I'm going to die.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then again, Jean kind of has that written all over him, too. What would that name?
Hey, man.
But we also hit a milestone.
One
with,
at a time.
With this, we also hit a milestone with this because it's the first time we also get to see Ozpin fight.
Yeah.
Even
oh
though
my
it was
God.
Very brief.
I mean, we didn't see. We didn't. Before we get to that, we didn't even talk about
the other thing.
Yes. The other thing.
There's one other thing. Yeah. To mention in episode 11, and that is of course Blake and Adam's confrontation
Adam has a way with words that can really disarm women.
No!
How dare you?
I gotta hand it to you for that one.
Get out, both of you. You both disgust me.
You know, I use puns to disguise my agony.
We've had people tweeting at us for a while, like, are you gonna cover Blake and Adam's abusive relationship? And I think somebody tweeted at me that is a fan of both this and of Jessica Jones.
I was going to say, if you want to hear our thoughts about that, watch our Jessica Jones after show.
If you want to hear me really get into that, yeah, watch the Jessica Jones after show. Because it's very much that same idea where it is this guy and he just feels that he is entitled to this woman who he previously had a relationship with, and he's and basically Adam is like, I'm doing all of this for you, babe. Like, why must you hurt me?
And then he freaking tries to behead her. Like, honey, no.
So he's back from the moon. Yeah. Go back to the moon. No one likes you.
It's been a long time coming getting this character to the role that he is now playing in the show. Now that he is a character that we see and hear on screen, that's also been another long thing coming.
Yeah.
Like, so what is it like getting to see people really see how nasty this guy has become?
It pretty much played out exactly how we thought it was going to.
I think the best part about it, though, was seeing after episode 7, everybody started thinking, oh, no, he's not that bad of a guy. He's a victim. Like, Cinder's manipulating him.
Yeah.
And then we get to the episodes at the end.
Yeah.
That was an interesting reaction.
Yeah. He's a layered individual.
Yeah.
That's a really nice way of putting it.
He's Shrek.
Beat me to Shrek. It. Flippin' beat me to
He's
it.
He's like onions, He's like except onion. All the layers are terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll get to see what's at the core of that horrible onion that made it so bad.
It's Shrek.
Yeah. It's Shrek? Yeah. Shrek's at the core of Adam, that's why he's so bad?
Yeah.
He's like, Blake, it's not ogre. It's never ogre.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, man. But yeah, and again,
Master
3000s. Yeah, he's gonna be a wild ride.
And this is gonna sound super weird, but I'm like really glad that we let Adam be that awful.
Oh yeah,
because there are like people in the world that are that awful, and it's just gonna be I was about to say all the more better. That's not correct
and
English.
Makes
sense. That's not good English.
You want representation of these types of characters, yeah, so you can kind of learn how to deal with them.
Totally. And ultimately, I truly do believe that Blake is going to kick his butt, and it's going to be awesome.
Also, Chad is losing their minds talking about Velvet, so...
Oh, yeah!
Let's hit the 3D printer up in there.
So, yeah, we finally get to see what's in the box.
Dude,
and what's
the box? It's a 3D printer.
It's a 3D printer, and it's fantastic. I want to know, in terms of how this particular aspect of her attacks works, is it that she has to build up her semblance and build up energy over a period of time, and that it's just her power to observe things, or is it a direct... Is it directly linked to her camera taking pictures?
We did about her semblance.
No, we didn't.
Do you want to get to
She takes photos.
It was all you need to know right now.
Yeah.
Perfect.
No, go ahead.
Oh, sure. So, yeah, essentially the camera, she's able to... We reveal that she's not been taking bad pictures of people.
No.
She's taking
pictures of weapons.
And essentially the box is able to recreate those weapons for a temporary amount of time.
Yeah.
Hence the lines in like volume 2 of like, no, you've been saving up, don't waste it right now. It's just something that I think, you know, Monty came up with. It was like, this would be an awesome weapon. And we're like, yes.
But, yeah.
So let's just do it.
And she took a picture of Weiss's summon right at the end there. So that's a...
It's a sweet beefy arm I'm going to use later.
Oh, damn it!
Going to turn into void.
Speaking of, it was really great getting to see Weiss come into her own. Yes! Albeit very, very briefly. It was really great getting to see that come back, too. Because there were a lot of callbacks in these two episodes. There were a lot of callbacks to Volume 1.
The locker callback hurt me so much.
Yeah.
That was actually the entire, not the entire, but 99% of the reasons we have those lockers was for this scene.
Yeah, like whole thing with Cardin shoving John into the locker was to establish that someone can survive being shoved into a locker and shot.
Yeah,
that's the entire reason that guy was there.
In Volume 2.
Physically, not emotionally.
Yeah, emotionally, none of us survived.
Yeah. No, oh gosh, now I'm not going to be able to laugh at that anymore in Volume 1. No. Oh, now I'm sad.
Because you knew it was a setup.
You set us up, Miles.
You set me up.
God, and her last words to him are, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't know if it was because, like, I was going through an emotional moment in my life, but I just, like, it was, like, ugly crying.
And he's like, that's fair.
Yeah,
I had to take
off my glasses, and, like, my tissues were just, like, covered in eye makeup. Like,
Speaking of, Jen Brown had a beautiful, for those of you who didn't see it on Twitter, she had an absolutely beautiful eulogy for the character. So, if you haven't seen that, go to Jen Brown's Twitter page and check out her thoughts on this character.
She numbered them, too, so it's easy to follow.
Yeah, so it's really easy to read, so please do that, because Pyrrha deserved a really great send-off, and she got one. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
We're all kind of howling in agony. There's a comic about John going grocery shopping and breaking down in the cereal aisle because he comes across the pumpkin.
That's not nice.
Oh, it's a great comic, but I just...
That's not nice at all. Okay, can we talk about the end of the beginning? Can we go ahead and get to this Ozpin fight?
Let's do it.
Yes.
We're running we gotta go.
We gotta tear through a lot of these things. So again, it's fantastic to finally get to see Ozpin fight, and there's absolutely no question in my mind now that he was the wizard from the Four Maidens
parody. Oh, I agree with
absolutely that. None. But I do want to know, like, were you guys planning on having him fight at an earlier point, or was it always going to be only during this confrontation?
No, not really. If by earlier, originally that scene took place at the end of 11, but we pushed it to 12. Mm-hmm. That's earlier.
Great.
No, this is the right time.
Makes sense.
Yep.
So again, what was your guys' reaction finally getting to see him fight? Because of course he used his cane. That was fantastic.
Badass.
Yeah.
Seemingly, it looks as if his semblance has something to do with time.
Yes.
And I know I'm not the only one who, when he made that barrier, it looked more like the bubble from Terminator when the Terminators travel to the past, then an actual like defensive bubble. So he's probably kicking it in the future right now.
I would agree with you 100%, Mark. Could not have said it better.
Damn it.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a shapeshifter like Crow and ostensibly Raven. Which, that blew my freaking mind.
I'm pretty sure Mark just uses any opportunity to drum out the Terminator theme. Because he's done that every episode for the past 3 episodes.
Fucking great.
I'm sorry, Katie. I was distracted while you were talking.
It's beautiful. And the other thing that I noticed, again, I rewatched these episodes today and, you know, tried not to cry while putting on my makeup. So that was fun and interesting.
Seems counterintuitive.
Well, when she's in his office at the top of the tower, you can hear the ticking and it speeds up before Pyrrha gets there. Like, the ticking on the clock changes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I missed that. Although that brings up an excellent point. The communication tower is now completely kaput.
Dunzo.
Which means that all of the kingdoms are, which on the one hand, I appreciate Ozpin's reflection about the poetic nature of it, but from a practical standpoint, we knew this was coming and we knew that this was a very bad way to set up a communication system.
My inner tech support person is sobbing. Oh, that's my day job.
But this whole confrontation it's just this. First of all, you have a Dragon Grim that
Kevin!
Like at the top of this tower.
That's right. That's Kevin.
Oh Lord!
I forgot that we named it Kevin in the last episode.
Or Tiffany.
I didn't. We did our reaction video and started yelling Kevin every time the dragon came on screen. And one of our commenters is like, "My name is Kevin. What are you talking about?
Stop shouting at me!"
So Kevin shows up, and Cinder can talk to it. Evidently,
mm-hmm. has some sort of kinship with it.
They got a Free Willy bond going on there.
Yep. Why are there so many Free Willy callbacks in my life right now?
I don't know, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But talking also about the callbacks, we also have this moment with Weiss and Ruby coming together. It was a beautiful callback to get her to run up to the top of the tower, mm-hmm. which was really great.
Oh, I know. When Ruby was like, "I'm going to go," and Weiss is like, "No, we're going to go." Oh, so good.
Bless you, Weiss.
It was pretty fantastic. So what we have in this confrontation after Pyrrha dies is we have Ruby seeming to activate some sort of power. And there's a lot of debate right now. And I'm not going to bother to ask because it is a direct spoiler question. But the general theories right now go back and forth between whether or not she has her own power that has to do with the fact that she is somebody with silver eyes versus is she actually one of our maidens and we just didn't know about it until now.
Honestly, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, I'm willing to bet on both.
Yeah.
What intrigues me is that people have pointed out that Neo has silver eyes on occasion.
Mercury has silver eyes.
He does, too. Yeah. Everyone's special. And when everyone's special, no one will be.
Not in the daddy loves you sort of special way.
Yeah.
Getting ahead of ourselves.
I want to know, Mark, Emma, what are your theories? Do you think it could be one or the other, or are you going with one particular theory?
You know, I have to be totally honest. I feel that either one has merit. Basically, I'm not going to be surprised either way.
Yeah. Mark?
I just want to see what happens.
Yeah.
Really? Like, it's that we have, if we've been going through these 3 volumes with the assemblance that everybody has these certain amounts of things.
Right.
And now we're getting to a point where, oh, look. Here's a completely different set of rules, and I like that, because that throws all the theories out the window, especially when we get to the very end of the season tag. Just, what? So
it really does.
It's fun.
The silver-eyed people, the shapeshifters of the world, that could possibly be Raven hanging out outside of Yang's window. Don't know.
Eh, we'll get there.
How can you tell?
But basically, there's so much going on. We don't know where we're left with. So at the end of this season, Beacon is in shambles. The kingdoms they can't communicate right. with one another. The last thing anybody saw before the communication network went down was this massive Grimm attack. Grimm keep being attracted to where the dragon was frozen at the top of the right. tower. And our heroes, our main team, are demoralized. In some cases, not whole, and are separated. In some senses, forcibly separated, and others, willingly. And so, yeah, we basically have a lot of coming back together to do before. I don't know. Maybe this is the end of team. Yeah, maybe this is the end of Team Ruby. Who knows? I hope not.
That's kind of what they named the show.
Yeah. So.
But
I do like Team Ranger, though, and that's what I'm sticking with, you guys.
Yes, we did have
RNJR.
Several questions about the name of this team.
We did, indeed.
Is there going to be an official name for Jean, Ruby, Nora, and Ren?
I don't know that we'll ever say anything in the show. Honestly, internally, we call him Ranger.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I like Ranger.
That answers the question that at HelmsLiamG2 on Twitter had.
They're not going to go out and make like new team shirts on their travels. No. But yeah, internally, whenever we refer to them, we just call them.
We got really tired of saying Ruby,
John,
Sean,
Nora, Ren. Yeah,
totally.
Like, let's call him Ranger.
Yeah.
I like it.
And
Ranger's
then the
a
other
good one.
Questions that we've had, someone in the chat like 10 minutes ago, so there's no way I can find the name. Asked for Crow's weapon's name, and Isabella D. Uno on Twitter is asking for Velvet's weapon's name.
Camera Insight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Camera Insight.
We got
like
that
it.
Really cool moment where instead of it's also a gun, it's also a sight.
It's two swords in a gun. Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, Insight.
Well, we probably won't talk about that right now, but we are working on getting more turnarounds and stuff like that posted on our website for cosplayers, and that's probably something that we'll include there.
Yeah, cool.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Speaking of, I had Tasha L.E.J. on Twitter tweeted at us saying, like, please notice my Salem senpais, and I was like, okay, so I clicked on her Twitter, and she has an amazing Salem cosplay, at least a makeup demo for it, so.
There was a Salem cosplay within, like, hours of the first episode.
Yeah.
Someone up on Saturday. That was amazing. She had the black eyes and everything.
Could very well be this girl, but yeah, hers, it looks incredible. So, Tasha, we noticed your Salem. You're welcome.
Well, she's not the only one. Somebody tweeted out a Pura Shield at us, so you guys are awesome.
I know.
The entire chat is freaking out because I guess our stream got interrupted there for a minute or two.
No. So everyone's like, the CCD is down!
It's Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Damn it, Kevin. But speaking of characters that we see for the first time, we see Papa Schnee. When we find out what happened to Weiss. And we have a question here from Zatrupa on Twitter. Is this where Weiss gets her singing ability from? Because Papa Schnee looks like Remnant's answer to Freddie Mercury.
That's funny.
No.
Yeah. Cool.
Although that's not the only dad that gets introduced. We finally get to meet Tai Yang.
I know.
Voiced by Bernie Burns, which
yes,
I thought
Bernie's
was very
finally
funny.
In the show. It was so funny because I heard his voice and I was like, I know that voice. And I was watching the code and it's like, oh, of course it was Bernie.
He sounds like a cop in the city. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That was his day job.
Yeah. He comes back. During
the
summer.
Yeah. Hair.
It was her dad keeping an eye on her all along. But yeah, we have this moment where he and Crow exchange a look.
Real quick, the stream is still broken?
Oh dear.
At the very least, we'll restream it at a later date. Let's just keep
true.
Moving because we're running low on time.
Yeah, we're running low on time. So there's a moment where he and Crow exchange a look as he's leaving the room, and then just kind of that coupled with the fact that Crow has always been more encouraging towards Ruby than he has with Yang, I'm wondering, is there any, like, any chance that he's projecting his strained relationship with his sister onto Yang, maybe unconsciously?
That's a deep question.
Yeah.
It was mainly, you know, his little girl woke up, and then the uncle came in and was like, yo, dude, leave.
Get out.
This is kind of like a jerk move.
Yeah.
Not really happy about that. Mm-hmm. Who knows? you know, they're obviously, you know, we're just getting started with a bunch of these characters, you know, learning about Tai Aang, learning about Crow. We'll continue to explore that stuff in later seasons.
Yeah. Well, I will be very, very interested to see more of their backstory and why. Because there's so much in a look.
Yeah,
and,
yes.
Like, you really got to hand it to your guys' animators for being able to convey that so well.
Was Bernie your first choice for Tai Aang?
Yeah, yeah. He was the first person, or the only person I auditioned for that one, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. He killed it right out of the gate.
Yeah. Bernie's a good dad.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, hearing his speech at the end made me feel better. Like, that it's just going to take some time.
Yeah.
Like, that... It's like, okay.
No, sure it's thing. True. I thought that Tai Aang really came across as, like, he was a good dad.
Yeah.
And then you hear Salem speak. It's like, oh, I'm feeling better. Oh, I'm feeling worse.
Yeah, that parallel monologue from season one came back, and it came back real hard.
Came back hurt.
And it really did, but it's fun if you actually go back and re-listen to that opening monologue from Volume 1. It is not a monologue. It is, in fact, a dialogue between her and Ozpin. So, talking about
a simple soul.
Yeah, a very simple soul. And she's like, that's great. I'm gonna crush it, too.
I'm kill it.
I'm gonna murder all of your everything, and it's gonna be great.
Yeah. So I think that basically covers it. So I want to spend the rest of the time just addressing you guys with questions. What was the biggest challenge this season?
For just on the production end, I think it was the number of fights that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
We knew we wanted to go hard because it was a tournament season.
Yeah.
I don't think we realized that every single fight was going to take a month of two or three people's time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that definitely took a lot out of the team.
Yeah, it was.
That's just on the animation front too.
Every night, every weekend.
Yeah,
it got to the point where, like, we have our company meetings, and like our vice president would be like, and remember, Monday is like Memorial Day, whatever. So everybody has that off, and then you just hear animation department go.
So we have those meetings every Monday, and they definitely. I mean, this happens every season. We got to a point where that's the only reminder that it's a new week.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, weekends don't matter to you anymore.
Yeah.
But now everyone's...
Our production, our entire team,
I have
never met a more dedicated group of people in my entire life. Like,
they're amazing.
They are. It's like, we could spend another hour here singing their praises, and it would not be enough time.
Yeah.
They put everything into this show, and, I love each and every one of them, and I hope everybody else does too, because they're seriously like the champions of this whole thing.
Now, since you guys came into Volume 3 having already planned out so much of it from the get-go, what would you say was the most rewarding thing for you to see actually come to life on screen this season?
For me, it was the very last shot. It was finally getting to see Salem and realize that it's a continuation from one, and she wasn't just the narrator. Like, for me, that's like, I mean, everything's been really big, but that's been the number one thing for me since the very beginning.
Awesome.
Gosh.
I had that shot in my head when we wrote episode one of this year.
Wow.
I think for me, it was Penny. Because I think the loss of Penny is the exact moment where everything, like, from that moment, even in that episode, everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we've had close calls. We had, Yang, Kurt Mercury, and all stuff. But that has been the moment I've been waiting for since we started this show.
Yeah.
When everyone watching would go, oh, no. And I think it went exactly as painful as it was, it went exactly as I had hoped. Because we said, it's like the world is a dark and scary place. And now our kids are going out into it. And that's going to be... No simple feat.
Yeah.
One does not simply walk into Haven, I suppose.
Candid 98 said, anyone else notice the gingers die?
No, a lot of people have been talking about the redheads.
That was a funny
question. Kind of on a little bit of a lighter note, one of my the music is a huge highlight of the entire series. We got Caffeine, which I've been listening to nonstop for like, I don't know, a year or two. So with this episode, we got seemingly Salem's villain song in the credits. What was your favorite song that got introduced this volume?
Oh, dude. I mean, episode 5, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, never miss a beat.
The funky fight. Yeah.
So good. It's like a DDR classic.
Yeah.
That was a good
one. I was a big fan of 7, too, the Amber fight. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that was a good one, yeah. It's Gray.
Hi, Gray!
Department head. Some red head.
Literally popping his head in.
He's alive!
We're just talking about that. Yeah. There's some questions.
So we also had some absolutely stellar performances from every... Oh,
swimming on the table. Beautiful. I agree. We've missed you.
So we had stellar performances, I think, from the entire cast. And one of the ones that stood out for me was Lindsay's delivery for a lot of Ruby's internal anguish, I think, for this. What was your guys' favorite performance this season? I know it's impossible to pick because everybody's done such a good job, but in what...
Yeah, I mean, it's Leave Her Alone.
Leave Her Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one made me cry the first time I saw it, like, animated out.
They all had some great ones. I thought, you know, Barb with Yang, there was amazing.
At the end, yeah.
I thought Aaron's stuff and reaction, you know, Blake's reaction to what had happened to Yang when we see them in 12 was amazing.
Her I'm Not Running was
And, you know, Kara had some stuff that I really liked here in her interaction with Winter early on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not just the vocal performers. It's a... Any given character's moment, it's not just the vocals, it's also the animator.
Yeah.
And they did some amazing stuff. So,
Having Yang's eyes go red for the split second when talking about Blake in that last scene was awesome.
Oh, I missed that.
I caught it again this last time.
That's terrifying.
Kind of going off of what you said about the moment with Penny, the moment with Yang when she does lose her arm, you know, it just goes to show that getting stronger with every punch isn't the same as being indestructible.
Well, Adam sliced right through her aura. What is in that sword?
Gatorade.
Power of electrolytes.
Is it in you?
Power of electrolytes.
The idea of the aura is, you know, it's like we establish in the tournament fights that's like, every hit can drop it and some hits can break it. It just so happens that Adam's attack was so badass that in one hit it managed to break it and do damage all at once. It was just this super powerful.
Yang had also been fighting off screen.
So Yeah, exactly. That girl had been through some things.
Yeah. She had.
True. And she's been through some more
things. It's not necessarily a sword thing, more than just like, oh, he's strong. Yeah. Oh, he's a scary man.
Like, shoot a blade?
Nope.
Sword arrow. Okay.
Someone, I think it might have been Farley, called Adam Gaston.
Instead of the beast.
Think about
sweet
that.
Sweet nods, bros.
Sweet nods.
All right. I hate to say it, but we're getting yelled at from our studio engineers. Do you guys have any final questions before we wrap up for the evening?
I'm going to burn mine. Why must you hurt us so?
Because we love you.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Tough.
That's what Adam said. I don't trust him.
Whoa.
No.
Do you guys have any questions for us or for the fans? Anything you want us to think about or consider
final
over
thoughts.
The break?
Hey, Chuckers. Thank you guys for watching.
Watching.
It means the world to us.
And supporting us and just continuing to just create things and get excited about things and tuning in.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Watching the fan reactions each week was the only reason we're able to get into the show. It fueled the team every single week.
Yeah.
So please keep it up.
Yeah, it's seriously like spirit bomb energy that we get. It's because it's really incredible. Like one of the things that really helps a team is when you remind people, it's like, hey, I know you're tired, and I know you want to go home, and I know it seems like you've been here forever, but all this time and energy is impacting people literally all around the world.
Yeah.
And then being able to see that and read the comments, it's seriously, like you said, it's what keeps the team going. And we're grateful.
And I just want to throw it out there that, like, we see that with the fandom surrounding this show, that, like, they're so awesome to you guys and they're so awesome to us. I mean, we had two
fans make unbelievably detailed, beautiful fan art, like, of us.
Mm. We had, name drop them, because they're beautiful, they're human amazing. Beings. We had Addison, 24-hour call center, make more pieces for us. You are an amazing human being, oh my God. And then we had, help me, I just blanked the name.
Sarah. Ruby, or...
They drew us as a Ruby, team.
Yeah, like as Ruby characters.
With the semblances and the logos and the silhouette versions and the weapons and the everything.
And then, really cool. And then we had another one from Free Regiment on Twitter.
Yeah, Freedom Regiment.
Freedom Regiment.
Yeah, also drew us as a Ruby team and put up full bios, and it just, you guys are amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
We adore you.
And the fact that we already got a turnaround of Adam as Shrek. While the show was going,
come from?
Pretty awesome. From?
And we're done.
Yeah, this is from Nereal.
I love it.
Oh, Nereal!
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sad to say it, guys. We are going to be kicked out of the studio very, very shortly. Yeah. They're going to get the hook and drag us out of the studio.
They're telling us to rap, so I'll lay down the beat and you improvise.
Terrible!
Lyrics.
It's
we're
with a W.
Open it up in here.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
It's a W.
But for you guys, do you guys have any other upcoming projects apart from
that
Red versus
Everything
about. That you can talk about? I know it's tough when stuff is still in development.
We're making things still.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ruby 14 is already underway.
Yeah,
pre-production on that actually started before Ruby 3 was done.
Yeah,
and so we're rushing headlong into that. Mm-hmm. And the guys are already working on writing for Ruby Volume 4. Here's a spoiler. Yes, there's going to be more Ruby.
After Buzz exclusive.
There's some more things that we can talk about soon.
Yeah, yeah. We've got other cool new things in the works, details to follow.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mean, it's going to be an amazing year for Ruby in general. There's so much stuff happening that we're so excited about that we can't wait to share.
Have we announced the DVD date?
Yeah, it might already be up for pre-order, but it's the first Tuesday in May. I think it's May 3rd.
There you go.
For the DVD and the Blu-ray.
It is, because I made a May 3rd Be With You joke.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I'm stupid.
And no date yet on the soundtrack. We've been hearing all the questions.
Yeah.
We're working on it. Or Jeff is working on it anyway. He was busy with Ruby and Laser Team at the same time. But we'll announce that date soon. I would not be surprised if it were around the same time as the DVD or Blu-ray, but don't hold me to that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Fantastic.
May. Happy birthday to me.
Yay. So where can fans go if they want to keep up with you during the off-season?
You can find me on roosterteeth.com/Miles and on Twitter at the Miles Luna. Also on roosterteeth.com and at Carrie Shawcross.
Yeah, on roosterteeth.com I'm just /Gray and on Twitter I'm Gray Mardigan.
Well, I love it. Thank you guys so much, not only for joining us tonight, but for a freaking fantastic Volume 3.
And all the animators and staff down there.
Yeah, please send them our well wishes because they did an amazing, phenomenal job.
Like, take them out for dinner and drinks. They deserve it.
And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Sarah, sarah.
So, thank you guys. Go get some rest.
Yes.
For the love of God,
thank
go
you
get
you
some
so
rest.
Much.
Take care, you guys.
Bye, guys.
Have a wonderful
night.
Have a good
night.
Bye. We'll see them for RVD.
I'm gonna really, really, really miss watching this show.
I just watched
it again. I'm gonna really, really miss Pyrrha.
No. Sad to say, guys, we don't have time for official predictions.
Go.
Nope.
We gotta wrap it up. But let's go. Katie Cullen, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and the Rooster Teeth site at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I am on many shows, Star Wars Rebels and Arrow on Wednesdays. I'm on Muppets on Tuesdays. That's what it is. And Transformers Robots in Disguise is coming back. That's going to be Sunday nights. We will announce more information as we have it. We also have a Rooster Team group, R-O-O-S-T-E-R-T-E-A-M, on Twitter and on the Rooster Teeth site, and that is all Donick is doing because he's a lovely human being.
I'll more on that when I get to my turn.
Yes. I'm Emma Fife. Follow me at Emma Fife. It's my name. You'll know everything I'm doing if you follow me on Twitter.
Bless you. You can find me if you want to follow me on Twitter, Mark B. Donica. I just changed it. But I took over social media. We have ABTV Rooster Team on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. Maybe planning some stuff for that. Maybe. as well as a group on the Rooster Teeth website. Yeah. Did you say you're on the Rooster Teeth website at Kia
J? Yes.
Yeah. I'm on the Rooster Teeth website at Soapbox Mark. I haven't changed that yet. But follow us on there. We're going to give updates. The RTX tickets just went on sale on Tuesday. Maybe we'll go.
We'll
We have plans.
We do have plans. We had such a blast last year that we definitely have plans to go back. We will see in what capacity. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Guys, please be sure to also go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, leave a comment.
Yes.
We love hearing from you, and we're going to need to hear from you during the off season because our souls are broken.
Let's commiserate together.
Yes. Yes, we need to commiserate. And feel free, again, to use the hashtag RWBYABTV to tweet during the off season because we love theorizing. We love hearing from you guys.
And really quick, follow Patrick at P to the D's. He couldn't make it tonight, but he still is going to be a part of the show.
Absolutely. Yes. We love him. So, guys, and also huge thanks to Mark and to Katie for all of their hard work this entire season.
Everybody.
Mark, with his social media, he's done so much with the pictures every week. And Katie is the one responsible for all of our guest booking, guys. So the fact that we have these guys to talk to, that is the work of Katie and Brad.
If we're doing that, we got to talk about Brad because Brad is a lovely human being and one of the best PR people I've ever worked with. Thank you for Emma for continually filling in and being our fifth member. Thank you to Megan for leading this craziness day in and day out.
It's so much fun. I wouldn't have it any other way. And thank you guys so much for watching. We love you. We will see you all in the fall.
Oh, we're on Tumblr too.
Yes,
I just remembered.
We're Tumblr.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Team Fandom.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.